Page 390. The concept of reason. Reason was the only category of philosophical thought which over the centuries retained any relation to the empirical fate of humanity. Alfred Schmidt. Because even its remotest objectifications are nourished by impulses, thought destroys in the latter the conditions of its own existence. Theodore W. Adorno. Any contemporary restatement of liberal or socialist goals must include as central the idea of a society where men would become men of substantive reason, whose independent reasoning would have structural consequences for their societies, its history, and thus for their own life fates. C. Wright Mills. Fundamental to critical theory is a concept of reason as both historically objective and autonomous, that is, capable of self-transcendence. In its current instrumental definition, the historical nature of reason as the dawning consciousness of an age of culture and consequence, its functional role in organizing the values of these historical situations is lost. Precisely as empirical consciousness, reason simultaneously has transcendental status, the conceptualizations of a particular stage of insight circumscribe literally what is conceivable, just as these delimitations are but the crystallization of cumulative experience. Yet, as a force of production and insights into the historical contingency of forms of reason can become such a force, critical theorists insisted, reason considers reality not reasonable per se. Reality may lag behind its own possibilities and needs to be brought to reasons. Footnote 57, text. It is hardly surprising that this concept of reason has played a minimal, if any, role in contemporary philosophical discourse, whereas one of its aspects, deductive inference, has come to be practically considered identical with it. Beyond the operation of these rules of inference, cognitive acts have been exiled into psychology, that is, into basically irrational procedures. Reasons and rationality seem unconnected. Defining reasons in terms of operational rules quite evidently excludes such unruly behavior as asking these rules to legitimate themselves. Page 391. Such a challenge would require a higher reason, footnote 58, text, a cult, as it were, that relates those operational rules to a purpose which would imply that different purposes require different rules. Identifying one set with reason means we consider reasonable only its informing purpose. An obvious, also tacit decision among alternative values. Once such a decision is enthroned, the informing values are withdrawn from rational challenge and discussion, including the one that led to this choice. Reason proudly pronounces itself neutral and a merely formal instrument to administer and implement rules, goals, and values which themselves seem neither produced nor modifiable by reason. Increasingly, thought has renounced its claim to be critical and posit goals at the same time. Footnote 59, text. Its reduction to mere calculation apart from normative decisions, for example, and goals which thus come to appear as irrational decisions, bears little relation to either the intent or method of that ancestry positivists claimed, Montesquieu, Locke, the encyclopedists, and others had held reason to be the result of free and autonomous judgment, and the rational was the activity that followed this judgment. appeal to the facts was meant to corroborate reason, not to override it. If the facts were at variance with reason's dictates, the former were wrong and had to be changed in conformity with the latter demands. The ideal which animated positivist philosophy in the 18th century was a critical one. Footnote 60, text. To Horkheimer, the present pervasiveness of instrumental, formal, subjective rationality, which formally enshrined certain historical, subjective forms of reason with its characteristic forms of judgment, was a sign of historical immaturity, of a regress of heteronomy. The calculating thought of Verstand, footnote 61, text, belongs to a type of human being who is still relatively powerless. Despite his busyness, he is passive in decisive matters. Footnote 62, text. That is, he takes his goals from somewhere else. By contrast, critical theorists upheld a concept of reason as a telos, immanent in the historical process toward human autonomy, vis-à-vis the history they have made. Footnote 63, text. In this version, Hegel's dialectic of limits is unmistakable. Reason is neither an ontological category nor a timeless human faculty. Rather, it is a kind of historically evolving capacity for self-transcendence, inseparable from the notion that humans make their own history. The Frankfurtians did not tire of pointing to the active and constitutive dimension of thought. A philosophy is not something one has, but does, a behavior, as Adorno was fond of calling it. Page 392. Passive, non-interfering contemplation belongs to a naive stage where humans confront the world as something other. They have not recognized their share in shaping, nor that the terms in which they relate to it are of their own making, nor that they are dealing with a conceptually or materially appropriated inner and outer nature whose terms they can change. When the idea of reason was conceived, it was to do more than regulate the relation between means and ends. It was intended to determine the ends. With the same argument, critical theorists attempted to save and reformulate the once self-evident idea of individuality as the exercise of free autonomous reason, that is, reason free of serving imposed goals, free to choose among them. The simultaneous collapse, so often invoked by them, of reason and the individual as whose agency it, reason, has developed, footnote 64, text, was clearly no coincidence for them. The mark of individual autonomy was conscious choice, footnote 65, text, which presupposed that there were viable alternatives and options which, in turn, presupposed their knowledge or creation respectively. The proper task of substantive reason, mutatis mutantis, this exercise of substantive reason was predicated on the guiding interest in form autonomy. Freedom and reason are nonsense without each other. Footnote 66, text. In this sense, an unreasonable approach is also an immoral one. We cannot speak of a moral decision if we are coerced into it. Or do we not see alternative options, no matter if we make it unconsciously or voluntarily submit? Any prior guidelines relieve us of moral decisions. Following one means surrendering both reason and freedom, for binding moral directives do not exist. Footnote 67, text. On the one hand, the currently dominant forms of reason serves as such a guideline which suspends the freedom of autonomous judgment. On the other, its particular form makes value decisions a private matter, which lets its use appear as the voluntary choice of individuals whose decision-making ability it has just suspended. This concept of reason was not an undue mix of cognitive and irrational ingredients, but the logical consequence of repudiating the coercive equation reason equals rules of deductive inference. It was part of the attempt, as Adorno once put it, to break through the coercive nature of logic by logical means, that is, by turning logic upon itself. The exclusive ascendance of instrumental reason meant the self cancellation of autonomous reason, and thus went hand in hand with and was instrumental to the most irrational forms of life. Page 393. Critical theorists did not abandon the belief that humans could intervene and reverse the tide, but they also saw clearly that the self-cancellation of reason was occurring not because of its corruption, but through its own immanent logic as dialectic of enlightenment. Since part of its liberating function had been to ask any agency to legitimate its authority, reason finally had to turn that challenge against itself. It had to declare its own authority and substantive claims part of the very myth it had helped dissolve, so that it alone might reign. The dual contemporary mode of instrumental and formalized subjective rationality blocks any rational perspective from which it could be seen as a specific and one-sided form of reason. It indicts as irrational any perspective from which alternatives to itself are at all conceivable. The very capacity to both perceive its limitation and thus conceive alternatives is diminishing, and with it the autonomy to decide, which presupposes the visibility of alternatives. Reason had once been able to claim that things could be different by pointing to its own existence as an alternative mode and order of being, like art, like fantasy. Its residual forms today, it overshoots reality. The true is the whole, Hegel had said, and that includes real possibilities and their realization as part of reality. Footnote 68, text. If reason grasps the truth of a situation, its true identity in this sense, then any concrete situation always falls short of its true identity. When we speak of the truth of something, we always assume there is more than meets the eye, than can be expressed by statements corresponding to observables. The idea of reason in this sense as a project dates back into Western antiquity, for example, Anaxagoras, whose suggestion of a nous, the idea of an order in nature which replaced the older animistic world view, implied the possibility of such discrepancy. The existing order is not perfect. It is not in accordance, identical with its idea, but has to be brought to its identity, to its whole truth, to focus not only on what is there, but on what could and perhaps should be, is the function of substantive reason. It stands opposed to the dominance of instrumental reason, which merely serves, extends, and refines what is. Since Aristotle, fantasy has been a constitutive ingredient of reason. Footnote 69, text. To the extent that this cognitive faculty goes beyond the status quo, it is critical of it, its limitation, and the reasons for it. Critique and fantasy are thus inseparable. Footnote 70, text. We have come a long way from Plato's idea that it was Eros which enabled the sage to know the ideas. He, Plato, thus connected cognition with a moral or psychic state. Footnote 71.